So I'm going to be giving away my secret here about where I dig my clams. So this is the northeastern tip of Salt Spring, not quite the farthest north. And it's a pretty good low tide. It's probably about a 2.5 foot by now. It's going to drop to about 1.5 foot in the next couple hours. And
it's about 2 o'clock on a low tide on Salt Spring Island, British Columbia. I'm walking across the mudflats with Tom Koppel, and he's showing me how he digs for one of my favorite types of seafood, little neck clams.
I'm not sure. I think I'll start up here, where it's a little drier, a little easier, and we'll see how it goes.
Yes, gumboots are a necessary accessory for this.
Okay. So I have my digging fork from the garden. It's just like a sort of a strong pitchfork. Now let's see. There's one.
I see one squirting, yeah.
Okay, now this is not the kind that I like, but it is, I think this is called a Macoma clam or something. I look for a slightly different type of clam. These tend to be kind of gritty. They look good. I mean, lots of people would eat them, but I'll show you what I look for, and we'll see how it goes. And if I don't find them here, I'll move somewhere else.
You can really only dig for clams at low tide, and Tom knows all about tides. He's the author of Ebb and Flow, Tides and Life on Our Once and Future Planet. He came to the West Coast from New York City over 30 years ago, worked on boats, and lived on a tiny island where the rise and fall of the tides meant everything.
And I lived with the tides, and they were just part of my life in every way, and everything changed with the tides. Everything felt different, looked different, smelled different, depending on high tide, low tide. I used the tides to pull my boat up on the beach to paint it, you know, this kind of thing. There were all sorts of things you could do. Driftwood would come in on the tides, and I could use it for my garden fence posts and things like that. I could collect seaweed for the garden that was brought in by the tide. It was just so much part of my life. I was always paying attention to what was happening. You could hardly not, and it was very rich and rewarding.
Today, Tom is a freelance magazine writer and author of several books. He doesn't own a boat anymore, but he still lives by the tides when it comes to hunting for a good feed of clams.
On this beach, I've noticed that different clams are clustered at different levels of the beach. So it's not all the same. So depending on how high the tide is, the kind that I like to dig are actually higher up on the beach than some of the others. And there's always a mix of them, but it doesn't have to be a super low tide for the kinds of clams that I go for. Maybe there are some that have to be very low tides.
I'm seeing some very large clam shells here, but
yes,
more than the size of my fist now.
Huge horse clams. That's right. Those are very big and they're quite tough, and I usually just toss them back.
Of course, Tom isn't the first person to dig clams on Salt Spring Island. Just up above the beach is something called a midden, a trash heap of shells left behind by natives.
Everything along here is a midden. If you dug into this hillside beneath that road, or even walk up along the road, it's all shells. It's thousands and thousands of years of shells. The middens along this coast are often 7-8 feet deep. And there were some stories about, my first book was on the Hawaiians who lived on the Gulf Islands, and especially on Salt Spring, and how they're remembered by the early white settlers as being out there on Fulford Harbor with their kerosene lanterns at night in the winter. Often the low tides are at night in the winter, and of course the nights are much longer, so it's more likely anyway. So they'd be out there on the mud flats harvesting by kerosene lantern. Yeah.
It's hard work. I'm glad you're doing the forking, not me.
I'm still trying to find a better spot.
Finally, a fork full of mud pays off.
Okay, here. Now, this is the kind of little neck clam that I like.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then these sometimes have very colorful shells. They have that kind of striated look. And they're smaller and more tender and firm. So they're the kind I like. So maybe we found the right spot here. There's another.
Yeah, oh, I saw something squirting there.
Okay, there's a nice one, I think. So see the color?
Yeah, beautiful striations on it.
Yeah. See, that's nice and solid. That means both of these clams are good.
An hour's worth of work will fill Tom's bucket. Back at his log cabin, he makes me a delicious linguine con vongole, clam linguine, using a recipe passed down by his uncle, curiously enough a Jewish stockbroker with a penchant for seafood. Tom Koppel has a penchant for good stories, and his book, Ebb and Flow, is well punctuated with his personal experiences with tides around the world. It makes the history and science stories he tells quite flavorful, just like his clam linguine. That's Food for Thought. I'm Don Genova.